9 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Live radio, yes, Jim Gracie, Charlie Green, Neil Paul, Rebecca Canner. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Live weather with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
They are called whales, and every exotic dancing place begs for one. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have an oil boiler in our old house. I fixed it myself.
Or at least he thinks he did.
Listen and learn tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I find out why a defendant in one of my cases was found not guilty. Years later, after running into a member of the jury pool. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Let's be ends in space.
Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Out. Commercial.
1.
It's 3:30, so get ready to dance along with the toughest dancers in the USA.
And the lights.
I don't know why I'm playing this, but I felt the need to play this.
When do we know we're on?
Harry Parker!
Saying greetings and salutations to the teen population across this nation. This is Perry Parker, and I am going to groove you for one solid hour. So let's kick it off with the hippest dancers in the world doing the...
I think this is Jim Gracie's favorite movie. It's called The In Crowd. It's from the movie The In Crowd. Well, listen to this. Here's the director giving advice. It's a dance show in Philadelphia in the early 60s. I love this movie.
Hey, and he's got a new boyfriend. He's so cute.
No.
Come on, over there.
Okay. All right.
I don't care what we always do. Show Vicky.
Keep it on Vicky.
It stars Donovan Leach, Donovan's son. Way too good looking son. And Jennifer Runyon.
That new kid's hogging the camera.
She was on Charles in Charge, which I know you like secretly. Now they're going to beat up the new kid on the dance floor on live TV. Yeah, that would happen. These are bullies with switchblades.
You know what to do.
Yeah. Greasers out of control. All right, is that enough of that? Have you had enough of that? the real, it's called The In Crowd, and it's about the dance show in Philadelphia that replaced Dick Clark's show, and Dick Clark went to Hollywood. That's many layers of plot. That is a heavily plotted movie. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is my wedding anniversary. It's my 23rd wedding anniversary, a shock to all of us. I was thinking about the worst advice that I got and the decent advice I got about the wedding and about being married and about being a married. Here's why I believe this has succeeded for 23 years. See if this makes any sense. But if you got wedding advice, marriage advice, what was the worst advice you got? Here's the advice. Here's my experience. I have nothing to do with my marriage. My marriage is none of my business. I realized very quickly that my wedding and my marriage, first my wedding, was entirely in the hands of my wife and my wife's family. Technically, your wife's family does not even have to invite the groom's family. Doesn't even have to invite the groom's family. You realize that, don't you? It's just a courtesy to invite the groom's family. And I'm sure there are many fights about that. But then once I was married, I realized that my sister-in-law was in complete control of my marriage. My sister-in-law decides where we go on vacation. My sister-in-law decides where my kids go on vacation. My sister-in-law decides a lot. And then one of my sisters decides what we should eat. What? No, really. From time to time, because I'm in show business and no longer wear a Brooks Brothers suit and no longer am a consultant, I ask my sister for a little help, a little financial help, as you do, but you don't tell your spouse about it. I gave her a list of things that would be really nice for her to, for a big food order and solve my problem for 6 weeks. She writes back her opinion of some of the things that I've ordered. Now, if you asked me for money for food or clothing or anything like that, I would say, here's the money. I don't want to know anymore. Take it. Let me know if you need more. That's what I would say. Let me know if you need more. That would be and has been my response to people, friends, family, who from time to time need help. I believe in family money. I believe that if I have money and you're in my family, it can be yours. Right, Neil Paul? Isn't that the right thing to do? Isn't that right, Charlie Green, Rosemary Furlong, all the Midnight Misfits are gathering. Oh, my God, he's on the air. Oh, my God. That's what I believe. I realize very quickly that my sister-in-law controls my marriage. If my sister-in-law gets a new curtain, those curtains, duplicates, are going to appear in my home 6-7 weeks later. It's unbelievable. The wedding we had was terrific. We had a beautiful wedding. We had a great wedding. But again, I had no say in that wedding. My in-laws decided that. And therefore, because my in-laws decided my wedding, I decided I'm going to let everyone else determine the course of my marriage. My marriage is none of my problems. And the reason my marriage is none of my problems is because I don't get involved. I see these couples in the supermarket. You see these couples in the supermarket? I see these couples in the supermarket going up and down the aisles. Oh, do we really need this? That's such a big size. Are you sure we need it, Frank?
I think we should get two of these just in case.
It's a waste of money. I hear this going on in the supermarket. I'm like, I always shop alone. That is the first rule of a successful marriage. Shop for food alone. The second rule of a successful marriage is when there's a family gathering, you take something to read, not your phone. Take something to read. Anachronistically, take the newspaper, sit in the corner like my father used to do. Whenever there was a family gathering, my father taught me by behavior, by example, to go sit in the corner with the publication and read it. And then when my mother would say to him, "All right, let's go," then he'd pick up his paper, he'd stand up, and he'd leave. he didn't get involved with the family gatherings. I have chosen the same route. I don't get involved with the family gatherings. I sit over there. I don't talk to anybody because whatever I say will go on the family transcript the rest of my life. It will be brought up at random and convenient times. Why did you say that to my Aunt Rose? Why did you mention that to Aunt Rose? That, you know, you upset my mother. There's the banner headline. Upsetting my mother. You're doomed. It all goes into the package of why I believe I've been married for 23 years. I don't get involved with my marriage. That's the best advice I can share. Then I'm going to share with you some advice about the wedding and what men do not understand about the wedding until probably never, but until it's too late. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Coming up, we have Thea Landon, a smutty book author, reading passages from her new smutty book. Stephen and Selena from JB Bakery, who have put together an astonishing array of baked goods for my diabetes and for Passover. I was really impressed with what they've done. And you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This, good evening, is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
Sterling on Sunday.
We are alive, not alone. Strippers on the loose, men enough. But it's the beat of the life, not alone. Strippers on the loose, men enough.
Shenanigans, Gentlemen's Club, Albany, New York, the capital. The manager, a feller named Luigi Canessa, was doping up whales. Here's what a whale is. Customer comes in and they are throwing around major dollars. Perhaps a business leader in the community, someone coming up, sitting with a lobbyist at Shenanigans. And they're all of a sudden, they're one of Manhattan's well-known billionaires. And the ladies can spot a guy with a Guido roll in his pocket, and they move on in pretty quick. Luigi's no dummy, so he did a couple of different things. Number one, he started doping, roofying their drinks. Then he recorded, shall we say, marital acts with the exotic dancers, with these gentlemen who are likely married to another woman. They got a lot of money. When Luigi Canessa's home was raided by the police, they found 5 grams of pure meth. They also found MDMA, charged thousands of dollars on their cards. Could be going to jail for like 40 years. If you cannot trust the manager of a strip club named Luigi, you know, I don't know anymore. Who can you trust? Luigi, by the way, also managed an adjoining lingerie store. Underreported his income by more than 500%. By the way, 1,000 pills of ecstasy were found in his home, cocaine, and $41,000 in cash. And before you begin to say that, could this be connected to La Cosa Nostra, I'm just telling you that you are feeding a stereotype. Apparently, Luigi Canessa had an enemies list as well. Remember this. Generally, if it goes on the company credit card, like the American Express, and all of a sudden there's a $15,000 strip club charge, generally that raises eyebrows in the accounting department, no matter how big that whale is. Be careful what you drink in the champagne room. This is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
All right. The Midnight Misfits, Rosemary Furlong. Stuart. Yes, Stuart. I haven't forgotten you. Have you forgotten me, Stuart? Hey. Catherine Arthur. Rebecca Canner. Mark Simone. This entire 30 seconds is dedicated to Mark Simone. Ken Charles, you get the next 45 seconds. Who else do I have to kiss up to? Jim Gracie, Chris Berry, Ken Charles. It's a full list. Yeah. And Greg Stocker, and David Yadgaroff, which I have pronounced correctly. I'm grateful to all of these jokers. And I'm grateful to you, Sean, for being here tonight and never, ever take another week off. All right, it's 888-688-WALT. This is wedding season. We're coming up on wedding season. And here's what most grooms forget. It's a serious forget. When you were 8 years old, Mr. Groom, did you fantasize about your wedding? Your fiancé did. Your fiancé has fantasized about her wedding since she was 8. And now she's coming to you with plans that may seem new, but in fact have been hers since she was 8. And your job, Mr. Groom, something I did not fully understand. I'm not chastising you from a basis of perfection. I had no perfection on this particular topic. Your job is to do whatever she says. Now, you may have to enter some imaginary pretend debate. Oh, do I want the red one or the blue one? She knows which one she wants. Your job is to say, listen, I want you to be happy, and I will do whatever I have to do to help you be happy. And that's what you say for the 9 months before the wedding. You say, I want you to be happy. Because, and this is the risk, if you change one thing that's in her imaginary wedding in her head since she was 8, which in your case was not 10 years ago, since she was 8, you're dead. You will hear about that edit for the rest of your life. My mistake, I'm happy to share. My mistake, and I'd like to know your mistakes, my mistake was she wanted it in a church. And because it was in Manhattan, the logistics of getting from a church to a reception area, to me and my guy mind, was too big. She was imagining unicorns taking us across Manhattan without any problems. Unicorn white sparkly sleds would bring all of everybody from the church to the reception area. I'm just thinking it's going to be a pain in the butt to get a bus across Midtown on a Saturday. That's how I'm thinking, like a guy. Bad idea. Again, men have no opinion about the wedding or your marriage for the rest of your life. You have no opinion. Your job is to say, good idea. Or, I'm sorry. Or, you're right. Any one of those in tight rotation, like a top 40 station, will benefit you, I have learned. That is my deep and profound thoughts about your wedding. Coming up, you and I are going to share the most delicious pastries for Passover. Oh, my gosh. With JB Bakery from Burlington, New Jersey. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258 as we drive across the country in the 18-wheeler on this magnificent night. This is a great night. Did you see the sunset? Whoa. Even on I-90, the luge, the worst highway in America, the dystopian highway, even there, it was magnificent. It was great. I love being with you because really, what else would I do? I would load the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher, or argue with my 12-year-old about that it's time to get to bed. 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goldblum.
Coming up, we have Kendall in Vegas to share with us information about your foot fetish. Yes, you. Plus, Thea Landon, smutty book author, will read a special passage for your bedtime story. Now, live weather, Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Creeper in the ladies section. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We have an oil boiler in our old house. I fixed it myself.
Or at least he thinks he did.
Listen and learn tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I find out why a defendant in one of my cases was found not guilty. Years later, after running into a member of the jury pool. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, good evening. I have an email address, and I answer every piece of email. You ready? WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Now, could we get an official website, you know, waltersterling.com or westwoodone.com? No, no, no. In a zillion years that I've done this, not one media company has agreed to give me the proper email address. And then when I said, well, why can't I just have it for my own email? It turns out it's just a nightmare. My life is so complicated, so hard to deal with. Stephen and Selena of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. You want to go on Facebook and sign up for the JB Bakery Facebook page just to see the pornography that they put up there. The pornography of baked goods. Their baked goods are so, they torture my diabetes. That is their purpose in life, is to torture my diabetes. But I salute you and I congratulate you for your innovation and your creativity, Stephen and Selena, for having Passover desserts. Would you please describe some of the Passover desserts that you guys have created?
Hey, good evening, Walter. Yeah, the Passover desserts are really a big hit right now. I got the coconut macaroons. They're really popular, and they're always delicious, and basically they can be enjoyed all year round at the bakery.
Well, Stephen, you gotta describe them in a little more detail, because I don't know what a coconut macaroon is, but you want to describe it in a way that makes me need to eat it right now.
So the coconut macaroon, they have, they're like the big flakes, the big sweetened flakes, coconut, like the big shredded ones are like mounds. We mound them up using sweetened condensed milk and egg whites and whip it all together, like really whip it up nice. It gets like kind of fluffy, actually. We roll them into mounds and bake them just enough where they're like golden, slightly golden, where you almost feel like the warm crisp of the coconut, where the flavor actually like really crisps up. And then we pump them up with raspberry, usually like a really decadent raspberry. And then we'll also make a variety of them and drizzle chocolate ganache on them. And some people just like them plain because they just want to taste just the, you know, the taste of the coconut, which is excellent.
What color are they?
So they're basically white, but the flake, the coconut flake will toast up. So there's a little bit of toastiness on them, but they're mounds of coconut. If anyone's ever had like an almond, what do you call it, Almond Joy,
yeah,
that has coconut with a chocolate, it's basically like that, but it tastes better because it's all fresh. There's no preservatives. We use you know, all really good ingredients, all fresh ingredients, wholesome stuff. So they're really fresh. People look forward to fresh stuff when they go to a real local bakery.
What I love about your bakery, and to me the most decadent thing, is the fact that these are not cute baked goods. These are huge. Your baked goods are, these are the largest size baked goods I have ever seen. And yet they are beautifully constructed. They look great. And it's very important for me to mention that Stephen and Selena do not pay me to talk about their bakery, the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. This is not a commercial. I saw their page on Facebook, and I got some emails from them that were smart. And first of all, you should understand, and I mean to embarrass them, they're hot. Stephen and Selena, these are hot people. They look amazing. And then the fact that they're baking you things, what could be better than a hot person delivering you hot baked goods? All your fantasies fulfilled. Selena, are you still in college?
Yes, Walter, I am. Next year, I'll be graduating.
How's that going? Is there any trouble in college? Are you able to keep up with the work and work at the bakery?
It's going very well. I'm just wrapping up the spring semester. I have all A's this semester, so, you know, that's going good. I actually just got accepted into two honor societies, so it's going very well. I'm balancing everything just fine.
You must brag. What are the honor societies that you've been admitted to?
So I'm a political science major, so one of them is the National Political Science Honor Society, and then also Golden Key, which I think is just for just the honor students at the school. I don't think it's major specific.
Congratulations. That's huge. I hope your family's proud of you.
Thank you. Yes, they're very proud.
You know what it means in Jersey if your family's proud of you? You go to Benihana's. Are they going to take you to Benihana's? I hope that's what they're going to do.
I would imagine so. If it's a Jersey thing, that's just what we got to do.
Exactly. And it's a very Jersey bakery in that the portions are Jersey size. And if you've ever been in Jersey, if you grew up in Jersey, you know what I'm talking about. Because every mile away from the state of New Jersey, food gets smaller. And is a progressively less interest. And I won't even discuss the horror show of pizza outside of the state of New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York. Once you get west of the tri-state area, it's terrible. All right, for Passover, and happy Passover, my friend, at the JB Bakery, what is your best-selling Passover item? Do you know off the top of your head, Stephen?
I would say definitely the macarons. However, we have a really good arugula, which is a cream cheese dough cookie, and it has the raspberry preserves in the middle, and it's rolled up very tightly. So it almost looks like there's layers, and so it's layers of dough and raspberry, and it's dusted with sugar. They're bite-sized, though. So it's easy to enjoy, you know, at least a handful of them. And also, they're made in, I have walnut ones as well. So that's another alternative, you know, to try. There's different things to try. And the raspberry are very, very good. I also have it's actually called a rainbow cookie. It's layers of sponge cake, almond sponge cake with raspberry. So raspberry seems to be like something that's really good for Passover, but it's covered in chocolate. And those are also bite-sized as well. So the mixture of raspberry and the almond, it just goes so great with the chocolate. It's they're bite-sized, and they can really be enjoyed. They're delicious.
Stephen of JB Bakery, on Facebook, where you post pictures of all of this decadent food, these incredible desserts, what is your Facebook name? What name should we search for?
Very simple. It's at JB Bakery Burlington. That's at JB Bakery Burlington. And JB Bakery Burlington on Facebook.
Listen to this. See, Stephen's becoming professional at being on the radio. He said it three times. That is the secret to success of selling a name on the radio. Three times. When you go to people's kitchens at home, you visit people's homes, you go in their kitchens and they're baking or they're thinking about baking. As a professional baker, do you ever see things where you go, oh, geez, they shouldn't do that or they should do this? Can you leave us with a tip, a baking tip that I can use in my kitchen tomorrow?
I would have to say in people's homes, if they're really, truly like enjoy baking, they really need to have a mixer, like a small, durable, really good mixer, like a KitchenAid on their counter. That shows that they're a house where they bake. People come together and they bake in their kitchen. And that shows that they're more than the novice baker where they just throw things together. If they're using a really good mixer, like a KitchenAid, that's what I used when I was growing up. My family had one. And that was the piece of equipment to have in the kitchen with all the attachments, the batter, the beater, and the hook, and the whip. Got to have it all. If you're going to do baking, it's, you know, step it up a notch at the home baking, a KitchenAid would be the best thing to have. That's what I would recommend.
Well, you guys are great. I look forward to future. Would you consider coming on a regular basis to give us baking tips? Would you guys do that?
I would definitely love doing that. I have plenty of baking tips. I mean, being in the bakery every day, we're even learning new stuff every day. There's always something that's coming up that we'd love to share.
Thank you. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Stephen and Selena, thank you. You guys are great. All right, good evening. 47 past the hour. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever. When I'm long gone, if you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Well, that's what the Gaffney said. It's 150-year-old house. Dane and Mickey Dicker on Sermon on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Telling you tales of living with our eight kids in our over 100-year-old home.
Our over 100-year-old rundown home.
Our oil boiler is well over 20 years. It was leaking. It's a hot water.
It's a boiler like in your elementary school back in the old days, the kind of boiler you would have in the basement.
So I took it apart and I found out it appeared to be cracked and water was seeping out. It wouldn't hold pressure. I was super bummed because it's going to be thousands and thousands of dollars for a new boiler. It was a sad day. But I Googled the problem and apparently I didn't know this. Many of you may know this. There's a liquid goop that you pour into the boiler.
This sounds so great. Like you've done the perfect thing here. A liquid goop.
Yeah. Well, it was $30 instead of thousands and thousands of dollars. So I thought I would try it. I ordered the stuff and I bought a $1.98 funnel, drained the boiler down, did a little plumbing, poured it in. The next day, dry as a bone. No leak at all. Amazing.
I think this is kind of going to go like the experiment that we did with pouring goop into the engine of our car once that was, you know, completely blown and we poured in goop to fix the crack in the block. It lasted us, what, 6 years?
Yes. So we're buying time. We can budget now for a new boiler, maybe if we need it. But for now, it's working perfectly. The leak completely stopped, and it's actually working better than ever.
The only thing I was thinking was that if it actually went, that maybe we could finally get some sort of a heat pump system where I could have air conditioning.
Maybe, but that might be too luxurious or out of the budget.
All right, if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show. Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
All right. It's exciting. Driving across the country, 18-wheeler, 4-wheeler, I-90, 95, the 5 in California, KFBK. My friend Kendall reminds me that the whole point of why we Jews are eating... Call me whatever you like, baby. It definitely has a nice ring to it. Yeah, I think so, too. The whole point of why we Jews are eating coconut macaroons on Passover is because we are not eating real bread at this time. We are allowed to coconut during Passover because it's not bread that has risen. Kendall says that she is Jewish, and my Hebrew middle name is Aviva. Aviva. It means spring in Hebrew. And I love to say Aviva Las Vegas because it's my Hebrew name and sounds like Viva Las Vegas. And she says I have permission to call her Aviva Las Vegas. That's what we're going to do. Aviva Las Vegas, at one point in her life, actually allowed men to explore, examine, study, and worship and fetish her feet. She mentioned this. I started getting emails from you saying, I love to explore women's feet. And I thought, well, she wears socks. And she said, well, you know, I wear socks. I could leave them on for extended periods of time. And then we might figure out a way to share my socks with Midnight Misfits. This, to me, personally, is repulsive. But you may not feel that way. And I am certainly not one to judge. I'm not one to judge because I have lived a long life. And I know what we can get away with and what we can't. There, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, there's no other radio show in America quite like this, and certainly none on Sundays. That's why it's called Sterling on Sunday, and it's almost okay to be with you. I enjoy being with you. I have a spectacular website put together by Lee Harris and James Copeland. It is WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. This is my 23rd wedding anniversary, and I shared with you the reason I think I've been married 23 years is that I'm not involved with my marriage. That is the best tip I can give. Remember, one final tip about your wedding. It's wedding season coming up. One final tip. When you register for gifts, first of all, register for gifts. Do it. Anybody coming to your wedding feels obligated to give you a gift. Register for what you want. But here's the most important tip I can share. When you've decided where you want your gifts to come from, be sure to select some items that are insanely expensive, ridiculously expensive. Promise. Those will be selected first. There will be people coming to your wedding who want to be the high watermark. They want to spend the most money. Give them permission. Do not register the tchotchkes. Do not register the salt and pepper shaker. Do not register anything that you can actually afford. There's no point in getting married and suffering if you don't order the silver. Order the most expensive thing you can on the registry. Best wedding advice I could give you. Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. It's spectacular to be with you live on a Sunday night. Yes, I care that much about my misfits. Dr. Dave Iser, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Creeper in the ladies section. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I find out why a defendant in one of my cases was found not guilty. Years later, after running into a member of the jury pool. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday.
Lesbians in space. Who wears puts guns?
I want to sleep in the same bed as you. That's all. Maybe I could rest my head on your arm. I don't care. As long as you're there. You can see me without makeup, ready for bed in the late hour. I can see your hair, still wet from the shower. I want to sleep in the same bed as you. I guess I just want the little things. Every moment I possibly can. Your every thought that I think, and I want to do anything. Everything I can. As long as you're with me. As long as you're there.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
I love to hear arrogant celebrities saying that if something happens, they will leave the country and move to Canada. As though we're going to keep track of whether or not they actually moved to Canada, but more importantly, whether or not Canadians actually want them.
Hello, Americans.
It's us, Canadians.
We heard a lot of you are mad about your presidential election.
So mad you're threatening to move to Canada.
And from the bottom of our hockey playing, the grass feed binging.
Timmy Hortons, double-double, sipping hearts, please. Don't
move to Canada.
Don't move to Canada.
Déménagez pas au Canada.
It's way harder than you think.
It won't solve your problems.
And deep down, you don't really want to.
Or deserve to, eh?
Opposing Donald Trump or hating Hillary Clinton doesn't really make you a political refugee.
It makes you a Twitter user.
And we have enough of those already.
And even if you were a refugee, we barely take refugees in.
Canada is still America's beret, but it's no longer a liberal paradise.
Our version of Donald Trump was prime minister for the last decade.
Now, what would happen if you wanted to move to a country that most people don't want to move to? It's hard, actually, to become a citizen of Canada. I won't go into all the details, but trust me, it's hard to become a citizen of Canada because Canadians are smart. Yes, we make their car, and that should qualify us for citizenship immediately, but it doesn't. Let's say, for example, you want to move to the country in Africa of Chad. Yeah, Chad. How do you move to Chad? Ready? Naturalization can be granted to persons who have resided in Chad for a sufficient period of time to confirm they understand the customs and traditions of the society. Well, that's pretty subjective. They have to prove they understand things. General provisions are that applicants be of good mental and physical health. This is to get into Chad. And they're of good character and have no criminal convictions and have resided in the country for 15 years. To apply for citizenship in Chad, you have to have been living there for 15 years. To obtain naturalization, applicants submit to the Ministry of the Interior documentation, which includes proof of residency and employment, identity and educational documents, police or criminal records, certificates of health, and taxation records. In addition, applicants who want to live in Chad must provide proof of fluency in French or another language in use in Chad, as well as their assimilation into the society. Upon review, successful applicants are granted naturalization by presidential decree. The president has to get involved. Other persons who may be naturalized include the spouse of a Chadian national. Minor children can be automatically naturalized when their parent acquires nationality. You got to live in Chad for 15 years before you can become a citizen of Chad, maybe. Chad. No other country in the world has the admissions freedom, lack of standards as the United States of America. Anybody who says, well, it's really hard to get a green card here, pick any country you want. See how it's going in another country. It's unbelievable. This is this great time of year where the weather's changing and it's becoming spring, and it's super easy to fall in love. This is the time of year to fall in love. And this is the time of year when you're in high school, you're asking her out on a first date. All of the fear and nervousness associated with that is it's both very sweet and very terrifying. And I will share a story of one of my first dates in high school. I was a kid, see, and I'll share that story with you coming up in just moments. Coming up tonight, Thea Landon, smutty book author, is going to read you a bedtime story from one of her smutty books. Plus, Aviva in Vegas will bring us up to date on her feet. Bring us up to date on her feet. All of that and you. Here's my phone number. Call me, 888-688-WALT,
888-688-9258. On Sunday, the call.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bad.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling on Sunday.
He was a little liquored up. And he did what a lot of people who've had too much to drink do on a frequent basis. He went to the number one company in the world. More people spend money at Walmart than any company in the world. Number one in the world. So this happened in Idaho. Caldwell, Idaho police say they arrested 26-year-old Martin Chavez Zapata after they received a call from an employee at the Walmart on Cleveland Boulevard saying the man was, well, exposing himself to women in the ladies' clothing department in that store. Picked up. Public indecency, lewd conduct, and he was as drunk as a skunk. According to police, harassment comes in many forms, including public indecency and public lewdness, which are both criminal acts. Now, Martin, who obviously is probably going to do a little bit of time and perhaps should be going through a sober thing, you're looking for a nice lady. The worst way to do it is to walk into the ladies section at the Walmart and drop trow. You don't want to do that. It's a bad idea. No word on what Martin Chavez Zapata's blood alcohol limit came in at, but my guess is that we're looking at it. He probably blew a 0.15 or more. Go to the women's wear section to admire the beauties at the Walmart. Keep your pants up. It's a thing. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
On Sunday, the fall.
688-WALT. There are certain countries and states that are now outlawing nylon artificial fabric women's panties. We'll have an update on that coming up in as long as I can stretch it out. There's Aviva in Vegas. She, for years, helped men who had a foot fetish, and she'll share her stories about that and might give you the opportunity to own a pair of her well-used socks. When I was in high school, I did not have the key advantage. I'm telling you, this is the difference between a guy who does well with girls in high school and one who does not. A sister. I did not have an older sister. An older sister is the roadmap to success with girls in high school for a guy. I wasn't a jock. My fantasy in life was to be on the radio. And the great thing I've learned about being on the radio, it attracts no women. Absolutely no women are interested in you if you're on the radio. TV, sure. Reporter, have a script. Yeah, it's fascinating. On the radio? No. Because everybody who works on the radio gets all of their wardrobe at Kmart in the outlet stores. And all of their tummies hang over those Sansabelt pants that they got at Kmart at the outlet stores. I had in high school, I had a Dodge Dart. That was my car. That was my first car. It was a Dodge Dart. And I was thrilled to have it because it was a car that I didn't have to pay for. I was very grateful for that. But I have to describe this Dodge Dart to you. This was a very special car. The color on the outside of the car had faded at irregular intervals. So half of the trunk was the original color, which was brown. The other half was the undercoating. Whatever was under the brown on the car, that's what the other half of the trunk was. This reddish undercoating stuff. It was a sedan, which I thought was pretty darn fancy. I had a cassette player in it. No, I apologize. I had an 8-track player in it. I had an 8-track, but it was my car. We had slip covers on it. Beautiful. Remember slip covers? Yeah. It had slip covers. An 8-track, but it had another accessory that you could not see in the car. I got up the guts to invite Susie Skeets on a date from the rich part of town. Susie Skeets lived in that part of town where they had maids, housekeepers, nannies. I did not live in that part of town. The part of town I lived in was very nice. Maplewood, New Jersey, but Susie Skeets didn't live in Maplewood. She lived in the adjacent town, shared school district. She lived in South Orange, the Gaslight Village. She lived in South Orange. I got up the guts to ask Susie out. Susie was very blonde, had very big blue eyes, went to a private school. I didn't know anyone from a private school, but there she was from a private school. And I asked her out, and she agreed. I show up at Susie Skeets' house. Now, this was unlike a house of my friends. My friends did not have a lit fountain in the front yard. This is a completely different universe. My friends had a cracked concrete sidewalk in the front yard, and grass that needed to be well-trimmed hadn't been in a long time. Now I show up at Susie Skeets' house, and I swear to you, there was a moat between the sidewalk on the street and the door up to this house. Very long yard, much bigger yard, much deeper yard than anything I'd ever seen. Well trimmed. There was staff at the front yard trimming the yard, planting flowers, bulbs, making everything beautiful. I think there was a 24-hour lawn team. I cross the moat, nervous, knock on the door. A uniformed maid answered. To me, the only people who showed up at our door in uniforms or were inside the house in uniforms were people were process servers, people serving subpoenas. That's what I knew in my neighborhood. The RICO Act was the most popular law in the neighborhood I grew up in. Opens the door. There's the nanny. On a cloud, her mother appears in a $10,000 Chanel suit. And there's her father and her brother, Dr. Skeets. It was a doctor's house. I didn't know any doctors. We knew Sal, who owned a restaurant. You know, our idea of doctor was Dr. Pepper. We didn't know. Now they asked me to sit down, and then on a silver tray, the housekeeper, who is uniformed, serves hors d'oeuvres. Would you like an hors d'oeuvre? Yes. Oh, my gosh. It isn't even a mealtime. There's an hors d'oeuvre floating in front of me in this pristine living room with a white carpet and the fabric wall covering. The fabric wall covering. It was an entirely different world. We go out. We leave. We get in my Dodge Dart. Now we're going to go to see what I thought would be a fun thing. We go to see a Dostoevsky play called Last Exit. This was a bad idea. That would have been worse. We saw Crap's Last Tape. Crap's Last Tape, which was a play with one character who listened to recordings about his life before he took his life. We're sitting there watching this. Now we're done. Drive back. Stopped at a delicatessen. I don't know what I was thinking. But I had something in my car that you couldn't see. I had a laugh box. It was installed under the dash. You push the button. It laughed for 10 seconds. It's exactly what a 17-year-old would think would be incredibly entertaining. Just spectacularly entertaining. Now I'm sitting there in my car with this ethereal, blonde, blue-eyed woman, also 17, went to private school. I said incredibly stupid things. She went to an all-girls private school. And I said stupid things during the date, like, don't you miss being around guys? No, really, I said that. Don't you miss being around guys? And she's staring out the window like, oh, get me out of here. All right. Now we're about a block from her estate with the moat. And we hit a bump. Now, the only way that laugh box went off is if you push the button, which hadn't happened, or if you hit a bump. And I looked at Susie Skeets and I said, do you think you'd like to go out again? Susie, and there's all this blondness and the perfume and the big blue eyes and the diaphanous dress, and I'm recounting all of the incredibly stupid things I said to Susie Skeets on this date. And I look at her, I said, do you think you'd like to go out again, Susie? Would you like to go out again? Never saw her again.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Aviva from Vegas coming up in seconds to discuss foot fetish. Is there another show like this? No, thank God. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And it's always a joy to be with you sometimes.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goldblum.
Aviva in Vegas will have information about her feet for you. Plus, coming up in seconds, Thea Landon, smutty book author, will share bedtime stories for you and me. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
888-688-9258. 888-688-9258.
On Sunday, the call. 888-688-9259. Call 888-688-9259.
Mike in California, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Awesome. How are you doing?
Mike, it's an honor to speak to you, I think. How may I be of service to you?
Okay, well, I was just listening to your story about one of the worst dates you had ever gone on, and it made me think about my own worst date I've ever gone on, and I was going to try and tell it a quick story without too much of a tangent.
I welcome tangents because of the time of day. Tangents can save our butt. Please share your story, Mike.
Okay, are you ready for this one? All right. It had to be in 2013. I went up to the X Games in Colorado with a good friend of mine. And lo and behold, this good friend of mine and I found ourselves at an after party at the X Games. Well, we got drinking probably a little bit too much, and we're kicked out of the bar. Yada, yada, yada. I found myself in a police car at the end of the night. Now, well, this is set up to let you know that I had to go to a community service for, I think, disorderly conduct, or drunk in public, one of these two things. So, I remember feeling like this was a very, like, I didn't deserve to be there. So, it had to be a bigger picture. There had to be a better, there had to be a reason I was doing community service, and it could not have been my behaviors at the X Games. So, in community service, I began to do these things like, clean up after cows and horses, all this community service stuff. And I met a girl at community service who said, hey, I'm not supposed to be here either. And she said, I'm here because, you know, someone's accused me of stealing shoes at the mall. And I was like, oh, you didn't steal shoes at the mall? And she said, absolutely not. I didn't steal any shoes at the mall. I'm like, oh, well, we're both kindred spirits. We're both here at community service, and we shouldn't even be here. Maybe we're meant to be. Maybe we should be friends. So we went out for a date, and the date was to go see the Denver Nuggets, a basketball team in Colorado. I couldn't wait to go and see her. So she came and she picked me up, which was kind of a neat little role reversal. I really liked the fact that I was getting picked up. I felt courted. that like this girl. We go to the Denver Nuggets game. And she starts asking me if I like her shoes. I said, yeah, I like your shoes. They're very nice. The shoes are nice. She's like, oh, yeah, do you really like these shoes? I said, yeah, I like your shoes. She's like, they're a little present I got for myself. Well, that's really nice. Good that you got a present for yourself. She's like, yeah, I got myself a little present, a nice little present. I'm like, that's good. That's good. You have to treat yourself. And she said, I stole them yesterday. I said, you stole them? You stole the shoes? She's like, yeah. And then she started getting excited about how money to steal the shoes. So she leaves to go use the restroom. I'm thinking, uh-oh. Am I kind of in the wrong, something's not right, you know? Okay, so she comes back, and she's got, you know those churros that you can get? They're like kind of like a French toast stick, like a dessert churro?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch them, but go ahead.
Well, she loves them. She brings them back, and she's chewing on a couple churros. She goes, hey, do you like churros? I said, yeah, I'll have a churro. Let's try one of these. And she goes, yeah, it's a little present I got for myself. She's like, yeah, I got myself a couple little presents back there. I was like,
hey,
did
Mike,
you steal the churros?
Hey,
she
go
said,
ahead.
Yes, I stole the churros. I couldn't believe she stole the churros. So, sorry, Walter, go ahead.
No, Mike, this is almost an interesting story. I'd like to hear the end of it, but the problem is your phone keeps cutting out. It keeps cutting out. So thank you for this sort of interesting story, and hopefully you'll call me back either on a Verizon phone or on a landline.
I actually like my feet being touched. I know we have like a running joke around here about feet, but like I genuinely enjoy my feet being touched all over. I do.
Viva Las Vegas. Hello, Aviva in Vegas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, the night before Passover. Let's set it up. So, Aviva in Vegas, at a point in her life, allowed young men or men of all ages to worship and adore her feet. It turns out that there are a large population of people who are foot fetishists. It's a fascinating thing. Now, then you said, I can wear these socks all week, and maybe we can give them away. Give us a status, first of all. Tell me a little bit about the dynamic of foot fetish people. When they come to worship your feet, let's go to the foot fetish event. When they come to worship your feet at the foot fetish convention, how long does this go on? What do they actually do?
Well, Walter, hey there. What they usually do, there is a 20-minute time with each person. So a foot fetish model will match up with somebody that loves feet, and you have 20 minutes to enjoy the feet. And so within that 20 minutes, usually there is a lot of caressing, some tickling maybe, and then one of the really, really big things, Walter, is smelling the feet, and it's smelling the soles and the toes and all of the sweat that's in between the toes that's accumulated over the day.
And that's interesting right there. There's a 20-minute time limit. This is in a large hotel room, a large conference room in a hotel. How many models would be there on a typical event?
Well, usually, you know, at least 100 gals will be there.
You're kidding. There'd be like 100 people. So how many customers would be there?
Well, probably at least almost 200.
Now, let me ask you this. You're a very smart woman. You're in Vegas. You have an event. 200 guys show up. Is it all men who show up for these events?
Yes, I have only seen men before at these events. I know that there's women also that really love feet. But for me, so far, Walter, it's been only men.
Now, Aviva in Vegas, who allows foot fetish people to admire her feet. 200 people show up. How do they know? How do they find out?
Well, there's a lot of groups in every different city. So people that love feet, they usually do research and they'll find out where these groups will meet up in every different city, especially the real popular ones like Las Vegas. There's going to be a really big group of people that just love feet so much. And then those people, there's usually a leader of that group. They will let everybody know where the foot party is going to happen and where to show up.
Oh, so they're called foot parties.
Yeah.
All right, Aviva in Vegas. Have you ever been in a situation, even with this room of 200 people, where you obviously feel very safe, but have you ever had a gentleman come to discuss life with your feet and to admire your feet? Has there ever been a line where you're like, okay, this is too gross. This guy is too gross. Did you ever have that?
No, not really. There's definitely been some boundaries that have been pushed, but it's always very safe, and I do have a bodyguard. So if I felt uncomfortable before, I've always let my bodyguard know, look, you know, here's a safe word, here's something that I'm going to say, I'm going to do. If this person pushes it to the limit, I want you to come in here and really check on me and make sure that things are not, you know, not getting too much for me.
Have you ever had to use the safe word with your bodyguard?
I have not. Thankfully, wow. People have been very respectful in the past, and I've never, ever had to use that before. But I always have it just as a backup.
All right. Aviva in Vegas, a foot fetish servicer. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk about the socks that have become savory. Just for you. The socks that have become savory. Aviva's worn them for an extended period of time. We're going to get all the details. How long she wore them, what she wore them through, what the socks look like, and what you can do to actually win Aviva's socks. In just seconds, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable is the best day of my life.
It's exciting. Sterling on Sunday with Aviva in Vegas. Yes,
hey.
You're right. Yes, you're right. That is a clever way to do it. Aviva in Vegas.
Hi.
That's what we're going to call you from now on. Now, Aviva has a wide range of side hustles, and one of them is she participates in foot parties where men can come to a huge hotel conference room, and there will be about 100 women who will allow them to worship their feet. Now, would you please describe to us the interesting thing that a lot of these men want foot paraphernalia. They want to be able to own your dirty socks. Do you have a pair of dirty socks we need to know about?
Yes, Walt, I do. I've got a pair of socks that I have been getting extra smelly, extra stinky, just for one of our lucky Midnight Misfits tonight. I was thinking we could do a giveaway. I have worn these socks while I went hiking by the river. I went roller skating with my dog, and I also rode my horse in this one pair of socks. And I have gotten them so smelly. This is really the sweatiest I've ever gotten a pair of socks before, and I'm going to vacuum seal these socks for a lucky Midnight Misfit.
Well, I don't know if they're lucky or not, but I think this is what an interested person in your smelly socks should have to do. You ready?
Yes.
I'd like to see a two-sentence email, not 20 sentences, two-sentence email addressed to Aviva. And in two sentences, say why you deserve Aviva's smelly socks. With your real mailing address. It isn't going to go on a mailing list. No one's going to get in touch with you. No one's going to bother you. One of you will be selected by Aviva to win her socks, here's what you got to do. Send the email to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And then Aviva will review these emails and she will decide if you are worthy of her smelly socks. Because I have learned, as you have, that foot fetishes is a big deal. I never would have figured you would have said that at least 200 men show up at one of these hotel conference rooms for a foot party. I am just absolutely amazed. And then they get to worship your feet for how long, Aviva?
20 minutes.
And what do they do? Do they kneel in front of you? Do they handle your feet? What do you allow them to do with your feet, Aviva?
Well, they will kneel before you, and what they really like to start off with, if you're wearing a sock, remove the sock. And then a nice, gentle rub, a nice foot massage of the toes and also the arches and the sole, all different parts of the feet. And then we can sort of segue into smelling. And that's what's really going to trigger and stimulate is all of the sweat that's inside of my toes. And that is going to release like a pheromone. And this pheromone stimulates arousal and desire and hormones. And these are things that we call the love chemicals. It's very similar if you guys have ever been on like a roller coaster and you get that adrenaline rush when you're on a roller coaster, or let's say you get a brand new container of coffee and you're going to open up that coffee in the morning, you're going to smell it, that big smell that you take
in your
coffee.
Don't say that. I will never be able to open a can of coffee again without thinking of your smelly feet. Aviva in Vegas, if you want to win Aviva's socks, aromatic socks, her aromatic socks. Mm-hmm. Send an email, two sentences as to why you deserve them to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I will pass them along to Aviva in Vegas and she will make the decision. And then don't worry, I won't put your name on the air. This will be anonymous for you. Be sure to include your real mailing address or wherever you want these sent. There may be reasons you don't want them to go to your real mailing address or say to your office. Aviva in Vegas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For being a critical part of the success of Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. Love talking to you most of the time. Sometimes, I mean, maybe I like talking to you. 888-688-WALT. Dave Scott has an update on aliens and Area 51. Breaking news this weekend. That's coming up in just seconds. Dave Scott will be with you and me talking about aliens and Area 51. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. You and I are on I-5, I-4 in Florida. This is the special time of day to be on the radio. There is no special, no better time to be on the day on the radio than this. You and I together alone. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Finally, Dionne Warwick has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Finally. Why didn't that happen 30 years ago? Finally, some good news. Dave Scott has breaking news for us on the UFO front in seconds. Dr. Dave Weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Lesbians in space. Who wears puts gods?
What does Beethoven do in his grave? He decomposes.
It's so good.
My husband asked me to put tomato sauce on the shopping list. Now I can't read anything.
What's the resemblance between a red apple and a green apple? They're both red except the green one.
Did you hear about the chameleon who couldn't change colors? He had a reptile dysfunction.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life.
with benefits.
You realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
There's Dave Scott. Now, you have breaking news from a whistleblower. You want to share that with us, Dave?
Absolutely, Walt. And this is a story that I've been kind of mentioning to you about over the last few weeks, about talking to a certain whistleblower about coming out about UFOs. Well, Jason Sands came out on a Twitter space last night. We were not expecting it, but he broke down everything for about 6 hours on what he has gone through, how he has testified in front of U.S. Congress about his alien encounter near Area 51 at the Nellis Air Force Range in Nevada. And we now have another name to the whistleblower puzzle of somebody who has come out and started talking about UFOs and the United States government.
What's the story?
Well, apparently he was on a training mission out at Nellis Air Force Range, and they were told that if they see anybody or anything, do not stop, continue with their training mission. However, they pulled over their Humvee in the middle of the desert because they saw a person, what they thought was a person, walking towards them wearing white camouflage clothing, which is odd in the desert. When this person slash being got by into the truck, they said, "Hey, do you have any elements that we need to raise our ship back?" And when Jason looked at this being, he said it looked about 50 to 60 years old in human years. But the problem was, Walt, his skin was light blue. Not white, not brown, not tanned, blue. And then, after a couple of sentences, this being started telepathically communicating with him.
LED lighting can make your skin look blue. Is there any possibility there was a lighting issue here about the blue skin?
Walt, this happened during the day in sunshine in the Nevada desert. If it happened at night, I could totally see where you were going with that. But this is a daytime encounter. Now, here's the interesting part about this story. Sands claims that when this encounter happened and this being started talking to him telepathically, he said, "Why don't you head on over the hill towards Area 51? They will have the element that you need." This being allegedly said to him, "We cannot go to Area 51. They will kill us."
Wow. They will kill us. Why would they kill them? Why wouldn't they just want to give them dinner?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right there. Does this mean that other alien species have crashed their craft in the Nevada desert and they have seen or had their alien friends murdered by U.S. government officials and military members? We don't know.
Or maybe this alien had escaped from Area 51.
Well, according to the alien and Jason Sands, this creature's craft, it didn't crash, but it kind of shut down. Let's say it ran out of gas in the desert, but not gas, some sort of special element that it was looking for that they could use to take the craft back up into space or wherever it was going. Now, I have talked to Jason Sands personally a number of times over the last number of months, probably 4 or 5 months. I've been waiting for him to come out. He is adamant that this is a true story. He has admitted this under oath to Congress and the Aero program, which is the UFO program for the United States. He's done that within the last year and a half. And so testifying under oath, there's got to be some truth to that.
When did this happen?
This happened, I believe, in the 2000s.
And what was communicated telepathically? Do we know?
What we are assuming is that this is where he stated that the being said to him, "I cannot go over to Area 51 because they will kill us."
That's amazing. This being, besides being blue, is there any more description of what this being looked like? Was it humanoid? What did it look like?
It was very humanoid. He believes it was, I believe, a Pleiadian or something along those lines from the Pleiadian star galaxy. He believes, or he said it was about 6 feet tall, very thin. The skin was wrinkly, like a 60-year-old man's skin would be wrinkled. So not too old, not a lot of wrinkles, but still wrinkles in the area. The lighter blue skin was what it was a real giveaway for him. He said otherwise he thought the way it walked, the way it talked originally, was very human until the telepathy started.
And the telepathy distinguished them. Now, how did the encounter end? Do you know how it ended? Did they just shake hands or go away? Or, you know, how did it end?
Sans jumped back in the vehicle. The being started walking back towards his craft. They continued with their mission. There was three people in the vehicle, Sans being one of them. What we have heard about this is one of those people seems to have disappeared, and the other one is no longer with us.
Oh, it always seems that somebody disappears when there are these encounters. Somebody dies mysteriously, disappears mysteriously. Isn't that the truth, Dave Scott?
Isn't it weird how that happens? And we don't know what happened to him. Sans will not get into it with me. He says it's not his story to tell along those lines. He doesn't know officially what happened, but he's heard rumors. And, you know, but coming out, he is getting a lot of razzing on the on his story. The other thing that he brought up that was very interesting, Walt, have you ever heard of the 20 and Back program?
No. Why don't you describe that to us in detail?
Okay. The 20 and Back program is an alleged program that was originally brought up in the mid-90s by a gentleman named Andrew Bishago, who came out saying that he was a child time traveler called a chrononaut for the United States government back in the 60s and 70s and into the early 80s, that we have jump rooms that could take us forward in time, back in time, out of certain buildings within the United States. Well, the 20 and Back program is a military secret space program that is not supposed to exist. And with this program, this is where they take alleged super soldiers and put them in areas of armament up in space, whether it's Mars, whether it's the moon, taking on alien species that don't have the best interests of humanity in mind. And then when these soldiers are done their tour, they are able to reverse age them and bring them back into time. They allegedly go for 20 years and then are reverse timed, so that way they don't look like they've aged or anything. And they come back and live their lives like it was just 5 minutes ago.
It seems like a tremendous amount of effort to disguise that they've been gone for 20 years. I mean, that's you're going to reverse age them? If you have the ability to reverse age humans, why bother traveling in time? You could make billions of dollars making people young.
Well, you know that, and I know that. But look at people like Jeff Bezos and others who are investing in this type of technology right now to try to extend human life to 200-300 years. That's quite biblical. And that's what they are doing right now. But apparently this technology, if you believe the secret space program, and this part, I got to tell you, I'm not too sure that I do, but there are people out there who claim that the secret space program and these super soldiers who do these 20 and back missions are for real.
I believe there's a secret space program. Absolutely. You don't land on the moon and then not mention it for another 50 years. Like, what?
Well,
we went to the moon and then we don't mention it again for 50 years. It's crazy talk.
Well, you bring up a good point there, because NASA Chief Bill Nelson, who's a former astronaut himself, has come out and said that we do not have any interest in exploring the dark side of the moon and seeing what's there. Wonder why? There's alleged alien bases there. There's alleged human/alien bases on the dark side of the moon. And now China wants to send one of their rovers to the dark side of the moon to investigate what's going on there.
Dave Scott, how do I stay in touch with you?
Everything's at spacedoutradio.com, Walt.
Spacedoutradio.com. What a great contributor you are to both humanity and to Sterling on Sunday, Dave Scott. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT. Moments ago, we had Aviva from Vegas, who is a person who participates in foot parties. She lets men smell her feet, touch her feet, worship her feet. And now, for the first time only, you can get a pair of socks from Aviva that she has worn. Sealed in a plastic bag, all of the wonderful aromas from wearing socks for a week or more would be available to you. All you have to do is write us a note to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, with your real mailing address. No one will be in touch with you. Your name will not be on the air. Write two sentences. Why you believe you deserve to own Aviva from Vegas' socks that she has worn for a week. Apparently in foot fetish land, this is valuable. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. We will forward the emails to her directly. Aviva will decide who deserves her socks. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. All right, 20 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You're a real crumb bum.
Sterling on Sunday. Smarty books, lusty books, get cozy with the Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for you on Sterling on Sunday. My hand was on the doorknob when Nick called out to me. You know, you don't have to leave if you don't want to. I froze, afraid to turn around and meet his gaze. Behind me, I heard him get up and cross the room. That's completely up to you. He leaned against the wall next to me, but I refused to look at him. Why do you do this to me? I muttered, more to myself than him. I'm not doing anything. Open the door. Leave. Go home. Stay out of trouble. The voices in my head kept telling me what a bad idea it would be to get further involved with this man. I ignored them and turned to the side. Piercing hazel eyes bored into me, and I tried not to tremble beneath their magnetic power. You know what I like about you, Celeste? He said, shattering the growing silence. I swallowed. What? He towered over me, close enough to touch. You keep me on my toes. I never know what I'm going to get with you. His thumb and forefinger rubbed the lapel of my coat. There's the straight-laced attorney in her respectable suits. Then there's the casual, curious woman who first showed up at my apartment. Gently, he pushed the coat off my shoulders. With one finger, he traced a line over the flimsy strap of my camisole. And then somewhere deep inside, there's a bad girl hiding, waiting to come out. The light touch on my skin drove me wild, and I tilted my face upward. Our instant attraction to each other had been simmering for weeks, and I was ready for it to be unleashed. The decision had been made. I want to be your bad girl tonight, I whispered. Nick's hand slid from my shoulder up my neck. Threading his fingers through my hair, he kissed me, his lips soft yet firm. I leaned into his chest and opened my mouth for him. His tongue mingled with mine as he held me in place. Beneath my palms, I felt his breathing quicken. Our explorations became more daring, and I nipped at his bottom lip. His fist tightened in my hair, and he backed me against the door. Celeste, he murmured. I have to ask. Hmm? He stopped kissing me, but didn't pull away. You still think I killed Sherry? I was caught off guard by the question, my mind spinning from the sudden change of topic. No, I finally got out. Nick straightened and stared down at me. You hesitated. My pulse raced even faster. I mean, it's fine. I know the truth. His fingers returned to the strap of the camisole, but this time they skated along the edge of the lace trim encasing my chest. And who knows? Maybe you get a little thrill out of not knowing for sure. Maybe you like the risk, danger. I didn't have a good answer for him. All I could do was quiver at his feathery touch as I remained enthralled by his intense gaze. But know this, I saw the crime scene photographs. Whoever did that to Sherry was enraged, out of control. And I... He reached between us and seized my wrists with surprising force. I'm always in control. He pinned my hands over my head, slamming them against the door with a resounding thud. His mouth reclaimed mine, his tongue plunging inside. I squirmed, testing the strength of his grip. He had me trapped. The more I struggled, the more aroused I became. His body pressed forward, further immobilizing me. Without releasing me, he stood between my legs. I should have been exhausted. I was awake, alive. All my senses went into overdrive. I felt the solid door digging into my back, and I tasted the sweet velvet of his tongue tangling with mine. My heartbeat pulsed in my ears, and I swore I could hear the fire streaking through my veins. Everything about him excited me, and I craved more. I think I better stop there, but you can have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice, which you can find on Amazon, where it's available in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon.
Sterling on Sunday. You and I are driving across the country. It's a good thing you're alone in the car, in the 18-wheeler. It's an intimate and special time to be on the radio and to listen to the radio. Let's enjoy it together. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Here's the latest weather from meteorologist Dave Eisen.
Sterling on Sunday, the car park is live. Neon lights flicker, mirror balls spinning wide. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari solving crimes with whiskey in hand.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell the story of my first gun arrest. So I was a rookie cop working in a South Bronx precinct doing the 4 to 12 shift. And on that evening, I was paired with this loudmouth know-it-all cop who had basically more than, like 6 months or a year more than me. The entire evening, he was trying to bully me and push me around and telling me, listen, kid, don't touch the radio. I'm driving all night. Like he was a 20-year veteran. We're driving around and I see a bunch of teenagers on the corner. So I said, hey, just stop for a second. So we pull up. I get out on the passenger side of the car and this group of teenagers, I felt like Moses parting the Red Sea. These teenagers kind of got out of my way. And when they moved, there was a young boy with a handgun. The kid looked at me. I looked at him. He put the handgun in his pocket. He started running. I'm chasing him. I'm yelling, police don't move. I start putting the description over the radio. Chasing him for several blocks, I watch him reach into his pocket, pull out the gun, and toss it under a car, and he keeps running. Well, back then, in my early 20s, I was in quite good shape. I ran the kid down, pushed him up against the car, placed handcuffs on him, waited for the cavalry to arrive. Once my partner showed up, he grabbed the bad guy. I walked back half a block, went up to the car that I saw him throw the gun under, reached under the car, and I recovered a little .32 pistol. So we get into the station house, and this cop I'm working with is like, are you going to let me take the collar? I says, absolutely not. You didn't see anything. I was the one that saw him with the gun, and I'm the one that chased him. I'm taking the arrest. So I process the arrest. I bring the kid down to Bronx Central booking, and took some photos of the gun and everything. And, you know, it was a big deal. It was a feather in my cap. Well, what winds up happening is about a year later, I get called down to court. Now the kid is fighting the gun arrest. So I'm working in another unit at the time. And now I meet up with this cop and he's like, you should have let me take in this arrest. I don't even want to testify about this. And I says, well, listen, you have to testify. And that's just it. So the trial went for about half a week. They put me on the stand. I testified as to what I saw, the chase, and how I saw him throw the gun under the car. My partner testified. A guy from ballistics testified. And guess what? In typical fashion, the defendant was found not guilty. So I left the courthouse scratching my head. I said, everything was on the up and up. It was a great arrest. I couldn't believe what happened. 5 years later, I'm in an auto parts store, and the guy behind the counter recognizes me, and he says, you made a gun arrest. You were on trial. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was in the jury. I says, well, why didn't you find the guy guilty? So he says, well, it was a Friday and there was some people in the jury pool that didn't want to find the kid guilty. And I didn't want to spend the weekend being sequestered. So I just went along with everybody else and found the guy not guilty. So that's your criminal justice system at work. For more NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Oh, my gosh. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
I wondered why there isn't a pregnant Barbie doll, but then I realized Ken came in another box.
You didn't hear all that, did you?
I wondered why there isn't a pregnant Barbie doll, but then I realized Ken came in another box.
The fact is, there's all this hoopla and nonsense about getting rid of TikTok. They're not going to get rid of TikTok. TikTok is a huge, thriving business. And you're probably obsessed with TikTok as I am. The issue isn't TikTok. The issue is who owns TikTok. And it is believed that the Chinese government owns it, but they're actually based in Shanghai or Taiwan or someplace neutral. However, our government does not want the Chinese government to have access to everything you and I do on TikTok. I don't think that's what's going on. What I think that's going on is that Facebook, a huge contributor to various government entities, and Instagram, which is owned by TikTok, which is owned by Facebook, and maybe Google and a few other online huge companies don't like how successful TikTok is. YouTube doesn't like how successful TikTok is, have lobbied representatives in government to demonize the ownership of TikTok and get rid of them. It's a way to get rid of a competitor, to ban their owners in the country. Okay, that's fine. Because I'm not really sure with the hundreds of millions of people who go on TikTok every day and the hundreds of thousands of downloads every day, who in China is going to monitor all this and what are they going to do with it? Because let me give you an example here. This is what I watch obsessively on TikTok.
Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza.
So there's this character on TikTok named Juno, J-U-N-O. I believe it's Juno. Yeah, Juno. And it's Julia Molinari, whose family owns a pizza shop at the Jersey Shore. And Julia is 19 and goes to Rutgers. And with brilliant editing and angles, we now see Julia, 19, making pizza. And she starts each one of these episodes by saying,
let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza.
When she says, let's make a pizza, you know you're in for a good time. This is going to be a good day. Because everything you love about pizza is now compounded 100 times because it's being made by a gorgeous, blonde 19-year-old who goes to Rutgers. This makes her the perfect woman in the eyes of any guy who grew up in Jersey. Jersey pizza made by a Rutgers co-ed who has very long blonde hair, very big blue eyes, and is incredibly attractive. She looks at the camera. She looks at the camera and says,
"Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza."
Oh, my gosh. And then we watch in rapt attention. We watch her making a pizza, and that's all she does. She just flips the pizza around. She says, "We've got to put this on it. We put the mozzarella, delicious," and that's it. I've watched it for, I don't know, maybe 10 hours a day, every day. Julia Molinari. Molinari.
Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza.
That's all it is. That's all TikTok is. It's all of these, incredibly dumb videos and dances and sometimes music that people watch for hours and hours. Hours and hours. What else did I want to tell you about this? There was something else very important that I had to reveal. Something else so important. Yeah, it'll come to me soon. 888-688-WALT. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and the name of this show, live on Sunday night, is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
A Norwegian town wants to add 2 hours to each day. The town is above the Arctic Circle, and the mayor says it's a special place. She's proposed creation of a new time zone, so each day would be 26 hours long. The isolation apparently gives you a different concept of time, a feeling of peace and tranquility. So add 2 more hours to the day, she says. But what would you do with them? She says, oh, that's easy. Fish, hunt, learn a language, or just be with loved ones. You know, stuff you can't do in 24 hours. There's no bustle there like U.S. towns, so Americans might love it. But any time change is always a controversy here. And details still need to be worked out, like who approves the change and what happens to the calendar. But it could be good for tourism. But you know, Americans, we'd get there and worry about all the stuff not getting done with all that extra time. Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
Annie Knupp, Bill White, Ben White, Joe Roman, Eric Ferguson, Frankie Red, Jane Houghton. Why do I have trouble with that name? Charlie Green, John Harper, Phil Luker. These are the Midnight Misfits. You can be an official Midnight Misfit because you don't fit in. Please go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and click on the tab at the top that says Midnight Misfits. There you will be taken immediately to your official Midnight Misfit membership card. And that membership card has a decoder, which enables you to translate my secret messages to you. I don't know why I have so much gas. Enables you to translate my secret messages to you, but you will need that decoder. Bernadine Scott, Shelley Merle, Ken Brandenburg, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You can be a misfit too. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and download the Midnight Misfit membership card. This is how you finally belong. It's you and I finally belong with each other. The world has been waiting for us to find somebody who we can get along with. Right, Rebecca Canner? Right, Catherine Archer? Arthur Wright? Charlie Green? Neil Paul? Judy Paul? Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And I have a secret message for you tonight. If I can, gosh darn it, find the secret message. It's so secret that I can't find it. There is no other side. Please listen to me carefully. At the beginning of October, thugs came over the border into Israel, came up to suburban homes in Israel, mourning, people feeding their toddler, a person feeding their toddler, mom feeding her 3-year-old. Thugs shows up at the window wearing all black, a black hood with a huge rifle, takes the rifle butt, slams it against the window, reaches in, grabs the toddler, beheads the toddler. Next house, grabs the teenage girl, takes the teenage girl hostage. Dozens and dozens of assaults, rapes, murders in Israel to people who were guilty of eating breakfast. That's the assault by Hamas into Israel at the beginning of October. There is no other side. No Israelis ran over the border and did the same thing to Palestinians. And Palestine isn't a country. Did the same. That didn't happen. Israelis were attacked. Israeli citizens, innocents, in their residence early in the morning on a high religious holy day. A high religious holy day in the Jewish faith. That's what happened. There is no, what about the other side? No, there's no other side. No Israeli provoked this. I got in touch with Dove, a bus driver in Tel Aviv, public bus driver in Tel Aviv, working guy. And I asked him what was going on, how his fellow citizens felt. And then I asked him a really important question, and it's a question to keep in mind right about now. This is how an Israeli in Tel Aviv feels about President Trump.
You, your friends, your passengers, what is your point of view about President Trump?
What is our point of view on President Trump? We felt a lot more support from President Trump when he was president. There seemed to be a lot more talking between President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. In essence, our view on President Trump is very positive. There was a lot more support from Trump on the Israeli government. A lot more where there was a mutual bonding and a mutual acceptance between Bibi and Trump.
You may not love his tweets, but if you love Israel and you love your Jewish family or your Jewish neighbors, it seems that President Trump is the most promising hope for the country of Israel. Passover is tomorrow. And as my 12-year-old said to me once, she said, how could anyone dislike Jews? They're funny and they make great food. To a 12-year-old, that's it. I do not understand. I cannot understand the hatred expressed for the Jews around the world over and over and over again in history. Yes, you all have the images of the Holocaust. You know what the Holocaust was. But if you study it, as I have, you study, go a little deeper, the horror was even greater than what you and I know. For example, when Jews were forced out of the ghettos and onto the trains to go to concentration camps, they were not just forced onto the trains to go to concentration camps and told they were going to be relocated to the east and, quote, safety. They were charged for those train tickets. $6 for adults, $3 for children. Babies were free. Their last penny was taken for those train tickets to go to their death. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. My email, we can stay in touch, is waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at KFBK on the West Coast, Sterling on Sunday. I enjoy being with you. Let's stay in touch. Let's communicate. Killer website, waltersterlingshow.com. waltersterlingshow.com. Let's see. Oh, next week, I'll give you an update on my daughter who was just diagnosed with autism. and the fact that we are going to have to sue her school system to get her the support that she needs. And I thank Catherine Michael, the attorney, for that. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.